Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, good morning. It's awesome to be able to be here. Not just the people in the room, but we have a lot of people that are watching online due to, like, you know, summer travel. And even though you're bitter at them because they're out camping and it's like high of 81 today and it's 106 here, we want to say hi to the online audience, okay? So the people that watch, because it's not just people from here that are watching. Last year we had somebody fly in that's part of our church online to be baptized with their church. And so the first time they were at church was at baptism. So for those of you in this room, we want to say, what up, y'all, to all those people that are in air conditioning in a perfectly, you know, cooled camper, glamping right now, or wherever they would be, but we're all in this together. So let's say hey on three. One, two, three.
Hey.
Yeah, what up, y'all? Pretty awesome to know that we're all together studying through Colossians and how the message goes today. I want to give you a little bit of heads up. We're receiving communion at the end again, which is just crazy because that's 2 weeks in a row. And some of you are like, whoa, did they accidentally just like leave it out? No, it was part of a design and a plan because today we're talking about what we're to put off as we did last week. And we're talking specifically about sexual immorality. And so important, I'm not going to have time at the end to talk as much about our next step card, but knowing what they talked about with baptism and knowing that the topics this week, next week, and the week following are going to be really important for re-engage, our marriage ministry here, and regen, which is saying, hey, I have some things that I want to work on in my relationship with God, our discipleship, you're going to want to take your next step. And so maybe it's because you surrendered your life to Christ, like a lady that I met earlier this week on Thursday in the lobby, gave her life to Jesus Christ, and you want to let someone know that you're beginning a relationship with him, or it's to take that next step and regen or re-engage, or as they talked about, river baptisms. There's lots that's going on, but please, please take that next step. We don't just get together, right, and then leave. We get together to be changed and be sent on mission for God's glory. So today, as we jump into Colossians 3, you've heard the verses that I'm going to read today because we read them last week, but we purposely focused on the second set of things that we're to put off if we're going to put on Christ. We have to remove some things in order to put on the things of Christ. And the first thing that Paul mentions in chapter 3, verse number 5, is that of sexual immorality. And the reason is because it's extremely important. And sadly, there's not enough talked about in churches or in environments that have a biblical standard about it. And sadly, when we do talk about it, we end up screaming or we're just simply silent. But what we know about the silence is not good things grow in the dark. And in this area of sex, there can be a, you know, like secrets. And these secrets, opposed to what the world would say, it's not your secret. That secret turns into something that impacts all your relationships. That secret sours and begins to destroy your life from the inside out. We're told to live for the moment, but the problem is those moments turn into memories, turn into addictions, turn into habits, turn into toxicity. It's not just a moment. It ends up being a lifetime. And so in this area, God gives us some design, actually clear design. We're not supposed to just live towards the desire because it makes us happy. Like, hey, should be okay because not everything that makes us happy is good. Not everything that makes us happy is okay. Because then if it becomes about us and it's not about God's standard, then we're the one that's on the throne. It's idolatry. And we're focusing on what we want, what we like. We're not submitting to God's design and God's authority in our life. The truth is this, okay, God created sex. This was not something that Adam and Eve, you know, like, whoa, that happened. No, it wasn't like they discovered it. No, God designed it. And so God wasn't surprised, and his word has plenty to say about this. He's created us. He created us with a specific design, and he created us to enjoy sex within that design. See, God created something. He said it was good, it was good, it was good. And then what happens is man gets a hold of it. So what was created to be good, love, God is love, sex, turns into lust. That's when we get a hold of it and our destruction that happens with our propensity towards sin. We have a human nature. And sadly, that lust I defined last week, evil desire, it's mentioned in verse number 5. It's an excessive eagerness. It's an inordinate desire. It will lead you away from God. It'll lead you away from your family. It'll lead you away from your friends because you're pursuing it and you need to satisfy. You want to satisfy. And the next thing you know, you never would think that that one curious act or that one moment of weakness would turn into a raging addiction, that someone would choose pornography over their spouse. They would choose fidelity within a marriage over, next thing you know, they've lost relationship with friends and family and all of that. So it's dangerous. But before we talk much more about that, I just need to clarify, I do absolutely believe that when Paul wrote this letter, which he had to write similar letters to other churches, he mentions sexual immorality, but then he talks about our anger response. He talks about how we should be pure in this area and idolatry and covetousness, but then it goes towards, watch how you treat other people. Look at what might be in your eye rather than what's in someone else's eye. Don't try to remove the speck out of their eye when you have an entire pole hanging out of your eye. So let's recognize, like, we have some work to do. And Paul's approach is valuable. He wrote a letter to a man named Titus, and he was communicating to them because there were so many different sexual immorality, different things going on, people saying one thing and doing another. Titus 1:6 says this, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works." So they're saying they know God, but their actions don't match up. So if you have a relationship with God, is your approach to sexuality, is the stance that you hold, is it aligned with that of God's word? Because if not, look at what it says. If we say one thing, but we deny him in how we behave, it calls us detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. Those are strong words. If you're outside of God's design, your works are unfit and they're pointless. Your behavior is detestable. We're disobedient people when we're outside of God's design. And the time that I want to spend today, I want to be really clear. It's important for us to identify in our own walk with God. Like, you know when people say, is your house in order? Like, how we apply that today is our heart in order? Is our heart in order? This isn't about, hey, what's Rock Harbor's stance? I mean, I could feel it last week. Last week, I'm like, hey, there are some tough things that we're going to be discussing over the next few weeks, and these are things that need to be talked about, and people say you need to be tolerant, but we need, tolerant means approve of what I think and say it's okay, so I feel better. You're not allowed to have a standard, but this is my standard, and so if you're not tolerant or acceptable of it, then I just don't have place for you, and you're the hate-filled one. I start saying those kinds of things, and people are like, yeah, let's go. Let's talk about these things in church. Now, I didn't hear anybody do that, you know, because you weren't rocking these old man $30 Nike back wall items that I purchased a couple weeks ago. My kids were like, they look kind of old. And I was like, but they do that. But think about this. Like, I hear you guys. I hear, oh, yeah. Where does Rock Harbor stand on this stuff? This stuff needs to be preached. Is your heart in order? Is your life in order before the Lord? Not I care about, like, we got to hold on to these. Like, no, let's talk about at the core, are you putting off these inappropriate sexual desires and pursuits and covetousness and idolatry? Before we talk, now, don't worry. Next week, we're going to be talking about culture and biblical Christian community and what it looks like and what culture tries to tell you in this area. The next week is about husbands and wives, and it kind of gives us this pocket of 3 weeks to really press in on God's design. Man, how good would it be if we walked out today whether in person or online. And we ended our time today going, God, before you, I want your hand of correction. I want your conviction over me. And I don't want to be a person described in verse number 8. I don't want to have anger, wrath, malice, and slander towards people that may operate differently than me. No, God, before you, I want to be right. I want to put off the old self so I can put on the new. Would you make room for him today? Let's pray together before we jump in. Lord, I thank you that your word is pure, it's preserved, it's here for us, it's applicable. And when we align with you, the freedom that comes, and there's so many people and so many of us that we get caught up in what might be in someone else's eye when you're saying, I want you to remove this. And I pray we would just feel your conviction today. I pray that we would surrender our minds and our hearts and our sins to you, receiving your forgiveness. God, I praise you because as a body you protect, and as this body that you've given us in Rock Harbor Church, God, we can be made right with you individually, but then collectively and corporately, we can press one another on towards righteousness, spurring one another. And I pray today, your word, it's going to be preached, it's going to be felt, it's going to be read. God, I pray it's applied. We ask this in your name. Amen. Verse number 5, to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. It's the wrath of God coming if we have these things in our life. Not just a lot, but if we have even a little. We're to put to death. We're to mortify. It says sexual immorality first, and it's for a reason. This day that Paul was writing to this church and these churches, they were a sex-crazed community. Guess what? We live in a sex-crazed world. And you would like to think, oh, you know, it was different then. No, not much, apart from technology, which, by the way, preaching on this every single year, do you realize how much more comes on the scene in this area? You want to talk about technology and robots and all sorts of stuff, the perversions that, oh, it's just me. You're a child of God. There's a standard to be held to. There's a blessing that comes from obeying him. There's a blessing that comes within his design for freedom. Not limiting, but rather freedom. But to know that it was talked about then because it was on their minds. They were thinking about this. They were acting on these things. But God wasn't surprised. This was not something that God was like, oh, I can't believe those humans I created found sex. They figured it out. No, God designed it. His word communicates about it. We've got to put off the sin in order to put on the fruits of the Spirit, in order to put on the things of love and compassion for one another and gentleness and kindness. To put off, like think about, you know, appendicitis. How many of you have had appendicitis? You've had your appendix either rupture, you've had it removed, something like that. Yeah, 6 to 9%, of you. I've never had it happen, but I've had a kidney stone. Yeah, I'm in a recovery group with kidney stone people. I've had 6.5. If you want to, you know, maybe got pictures of your stones or whatever, like I'll meet you in the lobby. But 11% of men, 11 to 13% get kidney stones. When it comes to appendicitis, I looked up, it's like 6 to 9%. Like you, all of a sudden you're like, dude, my leg like feels weird. Like something's going on. Like, ah, or like, I hurt. Like something happening. Like, you're like me, like every day you wake up as you get older, you're like, I think I have appendicitis or something. You know, you don't really know, but you're sore for some reason. But appendicitis, you know, it's like, if you have it, no amount of thinking about the good health that you have, no amount of going, dude, I just worked out yesterday, I've been eating right. No matter positive talk about how your health is good and your hairline's amazing and that new essential oil you've been drinking every day is going to change your life, like whatever it is, like you still have a poison in you. And it's better to remove it before it ruptures. That's sexual immorality. It's better on this side of the infidelity. It's better on this side of the curiosity. It's better to confess to a brother, a sister, make right with God before it ruptures and destroys. And sexual immorality, Satan loves to see the collateral damage of that sin. So we can't just talk about the positive stuff, verse 12 through 15. We've got to talk about the negative things and go, hey, I need to remove this in my life. It says to mortify, to put to death. That's why verse number 3 we read last week says, because we've died with Christ. There's a death to the sin so that we be made alive in him. Something needs to be put to death. This sin that comes from our heart that then is acted out in these evil desires. Like, it gives the word impurity. This is a lustful impurity. It's connected with promiscuous or loose living. Like, hey, I'm not really, loose living would be, I know how God has a design, but this is kind of the area in which I operate. I mean, God's design's here, I'm kind of there, but it's loose. Now, when you apply it to sexuality, it's saying, I know God says that I'm not supposed to have sex before I'm married, but a lot of people do. It's not that big of a deal. We're already married in our hearts. So you become loose in this area. Passion, excessive affection, the state of mind that excites sexual impurity. A person that gains an appetite towards this and is pursuing it will do anything to satisfy it. This is where we need to stop. And just like David, when he acted out in sexual immorality in the Old Testament as king of Israel, like he acted out and took another man's wife to be his own. His prayer to God was, God, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And maybe that's where we're at today. God, create a clean heart in me. And I will say the spectrum is in this room. I'll say this, like all of it, like you name it. Things that are outside God's design for sex are all happening. And it's not one thing is a little bit less is bad, and one if it's any, is your heart in order? Covetousness is mentioned, which is really interesting. All of a sudden, it goes from all these things, impurity, 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 covetousness. The sin of wanting more. The sin of never being satisfied. More things, more pleasures. Wow, that sounds like lust. It sounds like, oh, I used to be watching this type of pornography, but now I'm watching this type of pornography. Oh, I used to just behave like this when I was single, but when I'm married, it's going to stop, and then it doesn't stop. Oh, those were just thoughts in my mind that then turn into acting out on that desire and a physical action being taken. That's what happens in covetousness. Idolatry is next. Well, this idolatry, this is basically covetousness. It's putting something else in front of God. And I know covetousness is like the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, but it's mentioned right here. But we look at James 1, we'll spend more time there in a couple of weeks, but James 1 verse 14 says, but each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then the desire which is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Then the sin is fully grown and brings forth death. It's the appendix that wasn't removed that then ruptures and gives forth poison unto death. If nothing is done, this will bring us ultimately to death. It doesn't mean it's going to kill you. I'm not giving you the sex talk that I got when I was a kid. Hey, oh, your STDs, you're going to die next week. You know, I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to tell you, it will take you from one place to another and you won't even know how you got there. And it comes by way of covetousness. And it's really interesting that it mentions this covetousness, like right after the sexual immorality and impurities. And when you combine that and realize that someone else is lusting after your spouse and realize that you might be lusting after someone else's spouse, well, they're not married yet. Well, they're going to be someday. And God doesn't see it like we see it. We see things time and space. He sees it all. And he wants purity on this side of marriage. He wants purity on the other side. He wants your heart. And this is an area, and I mean, it's easier to like talk at dudes about this because it's so common for men to be struggling with lust. And the amount of pornography that's consumed is significantly higher for men than women, but it absolutely is a problem that in this room, 1 in 6 women are most likely addicted to pornography. And so it's easier for me to yell at guys about it because I'm a dude. It's like, dude, I needed to hear that, you know? You yell at women, like, I don't go in the lobby. I hide in the back. I just avoid them, you know? And I married one. And so it's like, I want to be careful. But it is important because it's very, very common. Not necessarily in the area of sex, but yes, but the area of covetousness for a woman to want what another woman has. Man, he's such a great guy. I wish my man was more like her man, married or unmarried. Man, those kind of things happen often. We have to be careful because it's just the bait that will lure us and that will take us down a dangerous path. But God clearly has a design. God has a specific way. Ultimately, what will we choose? And here's what we need to remember. God's way is always higher. God's value and God's view of pleasure is higher than ours. God's value and view of sex is higher than ours. God's value and view of love is higher than ours. Culture says sleep with who you want. Sleep with them as often as you want. Sex is yours. It is yours to use in whatever way you would prefer. Anyone, anytime, any amount, and guess what? Anything. It does not matter. But the same person that would say some of those things anytime, use it, it's yours. The second they're cheated on, oh, they are ready. It's on. Because all of a sudden a standard comes about when it's you that's the one that's on the other side of the offense. Isn't it interesting? There's so much freedom and blessing in God's design and in God's plan. But man destroys. I want to talk specifically about the circle of biblical sexuality. And it's in this diagram. You can see it right here. This is it. That's all, Keith? Yeah, that's it. It's very simple. Notice it doesn't say man and woman. It's husband and wife. It's not someone else's husband. It's not someone else's wife. It's not man and woman because that could be, you know, premarital, extramarital. No, it's one husband, one wife for one lifetime. That's what the Lord has designed. That's where freedom comes in. Anything inside of the circle, it's cool with God. Anything outside, it's outside of his design. Period. So we look at that and go, man, that sounds restrictive, but the reality is it's freeing. And after almost 24 years of ministry, I think 24 years this summer, be 25 years next year, I've never had someone come talk to me and say, you know, I'm really glad. Man, being outside of that circle has been such a blessing for me. You know, the fact that we had sex before we were married, I just want you to know, like, best decision we've ever made. I've never, ever heard that. What I've heard is all the other things. This happened, and this happened, and this happened. And it's never making one's life simpler or closer to Jesus. It's always drawing them away. To hear the pain, to hear the heartache, to hear people talk to me about their desire to have children, their desire for things, and them going, I think it's because I sinned when I was younger. And to pray with them and say, that's not the love of God. Let me explain. There's grace. God is not judging you. Like all of the things that come along with the guilt and the shame in this area. And God is saying, this is it. This is the inside of the circle. Outside the circle, lust. Outside the circle, pornography. Outside of the circle, premarital sex. Outside of the circle, adultery. Outside the circle, homosexuality. Keith, you're going to say that? It's important. We have to talk about God's design. We have to talk about what God's word says. We have to be careful. We do live in a different world. And the biblical standard may sound like it's intolerant, but a biblical standard is freeing. I'll talk a little bit more about some of these things next week because we're talking about community in Christ and the purity gives and then culture and the destruction that comes from it and the route that Satan wants to take you down. Perverted and sensual behavior, that's outside that circle. Molestation, outside of the circle. Rape and sex abuse, outside of the circle. Incest, outside of the circle. Bestiality, outside of the circle. With what goes on with technology now, I mean, to hear someone say, that's my robot, it's not affecting anyone else. Like, I cannot even believe that these are conversations that are being had. Oh, I can only imagine with AI what could happen in this area and how it will free us in this area. It is so dangerous. The slope is so slippery. Satan has never been more joyful about where things are headed. But he's more damned in where he's headed. So he wants to take every single one of you here. He wants one of you to get really mad at the church right now and really mad at me because I'm calling something out. He wants you to get upset at me because I made you feel uncomfortable because I told you to look at the speck in your eye, not the speck in other people's eyes. He wants to bring his lie to the table. And I will bring it back to, how's your heart? How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you pure before him? Well, I didn't say how much poison do you have in your body and in your life. Is there any? Not even a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint is God's standard. To know that there's all these perversions of what God's created to be good. There's a reason when the movie Sound of Freedom came out and they filmed it 5 years ago that it got put on the shelf. Finally making it to the theaters 10 days ago. There's a reason because when whatever company is producing it or whatever actors were in it or whatever people did the lighting and then all of a sudden the threats come in. If your name is listed, you may never get a job in this industry anymore. I was makeup artist number 3. Yeah, exactly. But you were in that movie. You supported that movie. To know, like, it just exposes pedophilia. It exposes child and human trafficking. It exposes the $300 billion industry of sex slavery that goes on. It starts to expose pornography because within that industry, predominantly, that industry is funded, it is carried on because of sex slavery. Because the person that got into that got abducted into that, or the person that got lured or blackmailed into it is now stuck in it, and they can't live without those things, those threats, their documents, you name it, they're stuck in it. To think that an individual in the sex trade can produce minimally in the United States hundreds of thousands of dollars, on the average in the United States, $250,000 for their owner, in the lifetime across the world, about $500,000 per person, beginning at the youngest of ages, and I don't need to go into the details of that. So there's a reason there's going to be some opposition coming against a certain movie that came out that was done 5 years ago. But people have to stand up. And the standing up isn't just like me to try to promote something. It's literally us going, I don't want a hint. Because guess what? That's talking about culture and the things that are going on. But what about us? Is there a speck in our eye? If you have an addiction to pornography, you are part of the problem within sex trafficking. You're supporting it. You're feeding it. Well, I've never paid a dime for it. You pay a dime when you scroll. And it's taken out of your soul. And it's built into your algorithm. And it funds through advertisement the thing that you hate. And to hear mainstream media talk about this movie and how it's not this and it's not that and it's not accurate, I literally listened to some dude and I was like, bro, are you a freaking pedophile? Listening to you talk, I want to vomit. Do you realize you sound like a pedophile? Okay, that was a little bit strong. But it's overwhelming to even watch the confusion and the luring and the baiting and the switching. And Satan all the while is going, wow. It's outside of God's design, but now it's acceptable. It's outside of God's design, but I've got everyone to be tolerant of it. And the drift begins. God's design is very clear. Genesis 2, when it says a man is to leave his father and mother and cling to his wife alone, this is God saying, I created sex and it's to be enjoyed for you, husband and wife, for your lifetime. Here's the blessing. I wrote some points down in your notes and it's there on the app. And I just wanted to talk about, like, God actually did design sex, and he designed sex for procreation, to have children. But not just for that. And that for some is a really hard one to even hear because maybe you've battled infertility. And you can look in Scripture and see how there was a woman in Scripture and she was shamed because she was barren. And all that goes along with that. And my heart just breaks for you. It's not the only reason we've been blessed with it, but it is a blessing that the Lord has brought to us, but praise God, it's not the only reason. I grew up thinking it is only to have children because I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. And then I found out God designed sex for pleasure. Well, that was good. I love that verse. I love that part of the Bible. I taught Song of Solomon in 2017. If you've been in Reengage, you've seen some of those things. Like I said stuff that made my kids humiliated, and I can't wait to have them at the next service for the next 3 weeks. They come to the third one. By then, I'm just building material on how I can embarrass them. But the Bible's very clear and vivid that sex is for pleasure. God also designed sex for communication, whether it's through words or without words. There's communication that goes on in the physical act of sex. It's our bodies communicating, the connection, the communication. This is something that only God could design because that doesn't happen with animals, but it happens with God's most precious, prized creation, that of man and wife. And he's blessed that. Number four, God designed sex for intimate knowledge of your spouse. Genesis 4:1, Adam knew his wife. That means Adam had relations, the Hebrew word yada. He had relations. It means intimate and distinguished knowledge. Knowledge that you don't want any other man knowing about your wife. You don't want any other woman knowing about your husband. Intimate knowledge. No one else is supposed to have that knowledge. This is revealing, it's exposed, but it's sacred and it's good and it's given within the intimate relationship. Number five, God designed sex for oneness. The Hebrew word dod, which means it's the definition of love with a sexual emphasis given specifically to that Hebrew word. It's called the mingling of souls, the beauty that God has given. He didn't just create agape love and phileo love. No, there's a dod love for sexual intimacy that we're granted. Another word for love is ahava. It's a Hebrew word, a love that describes a love bond that is so strong it cannot be undone. The mingling of souls, dod, ahava, cannot be undone. A love that endures. It's the type of love that God loves us with. And to feel that and experience that within a marriage, like I am safe, we are one. What a blessing. And number six, God designed sex to be worship. Now that might be the weirdest point of all of them, but it is. Because when we honor God and we do things the way that God desires and designs for us to do, it is a blessing. It is a gift that is given. It's his design. And Genesis 2, verse 18, I'm just going to read through a few of them. It's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helper fit for him. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, at last this bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. What a blessing. What a gift. And it can be worship. I love worship. I love to worship with my wife. That's the line I'm using in the next service. Is your heart in order? Is your heart in order? See, if we're supposed to put on kindness and compassionate hearts, verse 12 through 15, and the peace of God ruling in us, we have to take some things out of the backpack, out of the life, removed from the spiritual and physical body if it's poisoning, in order for us to then put on the other things that God blesses us with, a compassionate and a loving heart. But to be a sexual pervert, to be somebody that lusts after someone else's spouse or after another creation child of God, daughter of the king, son of the king. When God has a way and God has a design, is your heart in order? Would you bow your heads with me? We want to give some time as we prepare to receive communion. And you can do receive communion as you're prepared, but as you're thinking towards that, we don't want to receive it with anything in the way. And so if there is a speck or something in our eye in this area, maybe some of you are saying, like, Keith, I have already messed up. It is not too late to do something about that. If we confess with our mouth our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us and cleanse us. Seek forgiveness. Turn from that sin. From this day forward, maybe it's, Lord, from this day forward, I am quitting porn. God, from this day forward, I'm sharing my passwords. I'm putting an app on my phone. I'm not going to continue to fight this alone. From this day forward, I'm ending the premarital sex and relationship that I'm having. I'm ending the infidelity or extramarital affair that I'm in. I'm ending the lust struggle. I'm trusting it to you. I'm confessing it. God, I want this habit broken. I want this addiction ended. I'm choosing you, God, first. I'm not choosing this addiction over you. I'm not choosing this addiction over a spouse or my family. I'm willing, Lord, to do whatever it takes, as hard as that might be. Lord, I need you. I want you to create a clean heart in me, God. We have an opportunity this morning as we receive that bread and that cup to remember what's been done for us and the price that was paid, and that God still forgives and God still makes new and God still starts afresh in us. So when you're prepared, you can receive communion as the band sings this song. But additionally, at the close of our service, we have prayer time up front. And if you would like to pray with someone, and maybe it has nothing to do with today, it has to do with something else, we're not supposed to leave the same way we came in. We're to leave changed. And what if an incredible victory took place across this church body, and purity and righteous living and God's design for sex begins to be lived out? What a victory we have in him. Take an opportunity to reflect, receive communion as you're prepared, as the band sings.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.